say that. I hope you have the page.
We learned last time the piece from the Shalach HaKadosh on the photostatus page. There are many, many thousands of sources in the Svarim HaKadoshim in this Inyan of the Hashaka, of that kiss of Teresh B'Chsav and Teresh B'Apeh, of those two worlds merging together, and what that means. On the Kol God of Lo Yosef, the Shalach HaKadosh explained the great sound of Hashem, the voice of Hashem that was heard at HaSinai. The Lo Yosef, which Rashi tells us, means two things. Lo Yosef, on the one hand, the Targum, Rashi brings a Targum, Lo Yosef means Lo Pasak. The voice of Hashem at HaSinai has never ended. Hashem is still speaking. Lo Pasak. On the other hand, Lo Yosef means Lo Hoisif. That Hashem said what he said at HaSinai, and he finished saying what he said, and nothing was added. Certainly no derabbanans, no laws from the Torah Shebaal Peh. Hashem said what he said and finished. And the Shalach HaKadosh explains, and this is what Rav Kook is talking about in Sif Aleph and Eretz HaTorah. The Shalach HaKadosh explains how it's not a contradiction, the never-ending, the never-ceasing voice of Hashem from HaSinai, and the voice that spoke and said those specific words at HaSinai. It's not a contradiction, but rather all the neshamas were present at HaSinai, and all of us heard that kol gadol, that great voice of Hashem, and Hashem said what he said, and nothing was added beyond the Torah Shebichsav that was given to us at HaSinai. But everything that could possibly be, like Rav Kook ended in Sif Aleph with the Gemara, Gamash Talmud Vosig Osel L'Chadosh, Hakol Nemel Moshe MiSinai, that any student of Torah in the future years, including us, would learn Torah, would be zeicher to reveal that voice of Hashem, that thought kivyochel of the Creator, that was included, that was part of that original voice of Maimon HaSinai, and that through the generations, depending upon the need of that generation, and depending upon the schus of that particular chacham, that tzaddik, that talmud chacham, or that yid that's learning Torah, according to the madrega of the neshamas of each generation, and the madrega of that generation, bichlal. That which was included and hidden b'koyach, in potential, in the voice of Hashem as Baruch at HaSinai, is drawn out and revealed to the world through that neshama for that generation. And therefore the voice that spoke at HaSinai has never stopped speaking. Only those who are learning Torah l'shma, which we're going to talk about in the second parak, only those who learn Torah for the right reason and pour their neshamas into learning are able to hear the voice of Hashem in their hearts and in their minds thousands of years after the words were actually spoken. This is the aside of the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. As the Shalah ended, we read in that last sentence, Lois Seichel, he says, Masha Mechadshim in each generation, V'chol Pil Pulam U'Misinai. All the Chedushim, all that seems to us to be brand new Torah. All the Chedushim and all the Pilpulim are from Sinai. Not that they were actually spoken in those words at HaSinai, but it was all Nichlal, it was all included Kivyachal in the infinite mind of Hashem, and in that voice that contained within it all the potential chidushim, which therefore we understand, v'loy seichel anoishi, the minds of the chachamim, and even our minds. We're going to look, we're going to see a minute of peace from the Tanya, that are bound to the mind, to the infinite mind, kivyochel of Hashem, through the act of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. Each and every one of us has minds. When we learn Torah, our minds are elevated beyond the limitations of the finite intellect of a person in this world, and connects. This is the hashak that we're talking about. You remember a few weeks ago in the mikveh? The opening of the mikveh, that hole that allows the water to flow from the bor that comes from the rainwater, from Shemayim Torah Shebichsav, into the pit that was dug out by human beings into the mikveh. And through the process of the hashaka, of that kissing of the two waters, the Torah Shebichsav waters of the rain, and the Torah Shebaal Peh waters that come from the faucet, from our digging and our working and our putting in the plumbing, everything according to the exact specifications of halacha, which are very, very complicated. When that takes place, then there's a meeting emerging of heaven and earth. The waters are inseparable. Even though when I'm looking when I walk, when you walk into the mikveh, all you see is the actual Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning you just see the mikveh. You don't see where the water comes from. Unless when you're in the mikveh and you're one of the types that like to peek through and take a look into the hole over there to see what's doing next door, then you'll see a little bit, a glimpse of Shemayim, of the rainwater, of Torah Shebichsav. But when you walk into the mikveh, you just see the Torah Shebaal Peh in all of its glory. If someone would explain all the protim of what this is, you'd be amazed at what goes into it. And the great wonder that people have who are not part of the world of Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav Hashem Yirachem, is why is this any different than my bathtub? Why can't I accomplish this at home? The Torah Shebaal Peh is what we see with our eyes. It looks like it's a chiddush. In other words, when you look at the mikveh, all you see is a mikveh that was excavated by people. It was dug out, and it looks like, so why is it different from my bathtub? And then to your horror, you see somebody actually turning on the faucet. Like, you didn't know that in, like, the next room there's a pipe, and they open the pipe and the water comes in, and you say, I can't believe it. This is a scandal. This is a mikveh? What's holy about this? And you don't know, the person doesn't know, that what you see with your eyes, Torah Shebaal Peh, looks like it's a total chiddush, something brand new. Something new. People made this up. Aye, but there's that hole in the mikveh. And the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the waters of the Torah Shebaal Peh are being nurtured with the waters of Torah Shebichsav. The two waters join together at that opening and flow one into the other. But you don't see the boras. The door of that place is locked. Right? It's locked. The person doesn't know, walks into the mikveh, doesn't know what's doing over there. That door is locked. All he sees is Torah Shebaal Peh. And he sees Torah Shebaal Peh, he sees a bunch of people, tzaddikim, that they're handling with this faucet and with that pipe, and they're doing this, and they're with the timer, and they're cleaning it, and they're busy. And it's all Torah Shebaal Peh. It looks like it's all the work of innovative and creative human beings who made a nice big tub at the Torah Shebichsav, the rainwater. Yizal Katalim Rossi. Yarev Kamata Lichi, Yizal Katalim Rossi, Kisir Malay Desha, Chaviv Malay Yasim, that's flowing into the mikveh, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So you hear a chiddush coming from the mouth of a Talmud Chacham, or any Jew that sits and learns Torah Lishma, and the person is saying some novel idea. Today, Parsha's boy, saying a nice idea in the Parsha. So it looks to you like all you see is the mikveh. You just see some human being speaking, and it appears to be an independent, separate voice. But the truth is that flowing at that moment into the mind, into the heart of that Jew, is the rainwater of the Torah Shebichsav. and what's emerging and being revealed through the mouth of this Jew in Tavshin Samach Tes and Hei Shvat Tzvasem Zizyotze, what's coming to the mouth of this Jew is really, really part of that ongoing Kol Gadol Yosaf, the flowing of Hashem's words and Hashem's feelings and thoughts that descend from Shemayim and enter into our hearts and our minds through that opening that a Jew makes in his life through tefillah, hard work and shmiras mitzvahs and so on, to make that hole, to open up between heaven and earth. So therefore, even though it seems to us like there's a seichel anoshi, that this is a human mind and there's a human intellect, and certainly that individual is operating within the guidelines and the misgeres of his own personal intelligence. That's true. But whoever has learned Torah be'emes knows that there are unbelievable gifts that are revealed, that are open through a person learning Torah Lishma, that are way beyond the limitations of his own intellect. And when the person opens his mouth and says some idea that he had, it's that fusion, that joining together of the two worlds of the Seichel HaAnoishi, of the human mind, and the Seichel Eloki, and the divine infinite mind of the Bari Olam, of the creator of the universe. That's what happens when a Jew learns Torah. And that's what happens in our way of observing Torah. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about in Seif Aleph, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Now this second piece over here is from the Tanya, the Igeres HaKadosh Perek Chavav. This makes it even more personal. This is the avodah of each and every Jew. We're going to be seeing a lot more about this. In Igeres HaKadosh Perek Chavav, the Tanya writes, "V'hamaskel yovin inyan pela godol mizeh ma'oid." The one who is intelligent, who thinks about this matter, will understand a great and wondrous thing. Manasa b'shamayim ma'al. What's happening in Shemayim? What takes place in Shemayim? Aydei iyun ubir halacha psuke min ha'gemara upayiskim yishanam acharim. What wondrous thing takes place in Shemayim? When a Jew sits in his little room by his shtender, whatever it might be, or in the Bais Medrash, and he's looking into the Gemara, and he's looking into the Rishonim, and he's looking, following it through to the Halacha, he's trying to understand, to clarify, what's the Halacha, what's the Din, what's the Torah telling me here? And a person is sitting in that world by himself. What's taking place in Shemayim? What's happening in Shemayim? This is only when you learn Torah. This will never ever happen when you're reading even the Wall Street Journal, if you're a very chosh of a person. You're not the New York Post, Chas v'Shalom, or the New York Times. You don't read Schmutz, you read the Wall Street Journal. And even when you read the Wall Street Journal, and even if you're greater than that, and you read Shakespeare, and you read Milton and Poe, whatever it is you like, and the question is, what's happening in Shemayim when you're reading a sonnet by William Shakespeare? What's happening in Shemayim? What's happening in Shemayim is no great mystery. The Baruch Shalom is saying, couldn't you do something better with your time? That's what's happening in Shemayim. There's nothing else in the world that when a person learns, there's a question of what's happening in Shemayim. And here the Tanya says, "Amaski of an inyan pella godom is a ma'oid manasa b'shamayim imal, adei iyun ubir halacha psukim la gemara paiskim yishanav achrayim." What's happening when a person is learning Torah? We're going to understand much more about this as we go through the entire sefer. Just like the whole Eretz Tshuva is tshuva, and to get a new understanding of what tshuva is, we're going to have a new understanding of what it means. What's Torah? What does it mean to learn Torah? What is the Torah? And the Eretz Torah. So Tanya explains, Mashahaya behelem dover, kaidem ha'iyun halaz, that before this person put his time and before he put his koiches into learning, there was something that was hidden. There was something that was hidden. It might not be just from him, although oftentimes, of course, it's hidden mostly from him. There are other great Talmid Chacham who knew this. But when a person says a chiddush, something new, something novel, and he's mevarer the halacha and he uncovers the halacha in this particular area, in this particular inyan, he uncovers the halacha. What's the Ratzon Hashem? What's the Ratzon Hashem l'gabi this inyan? A few years ago, there was a whole tumult, and they able to manipulate the genes of the DNA of a behemoth to make another behemoth that has the same chromosomes, the same metzias as that first behemoth, huh? They were able to clone. A behemoth. I don't know what ever happened to those behemoths. You didn't hear about them afterwards. But B'shas Meister was a big tumult. This is like his picture, the Shapsel's picture was like in every newspaper. I don't know, maybe he went on to become a politician. Maybe he was the governor of Illinois or something. I don't know. So, the
that was a big.
Couldn't tell by the hair. I couldn't tell. Maybe it was a Shapsel. So, So a question came up, an unbelievable question came up. What's this? How is such a thing the scientists found, such a thing that they could clone? And then the shaila is, what does that mean? And what does that take us? And what, as far as human beings and so on and so forth, what does the Torah have to say about this? So if someone comes to me and says, what does the Torah have to say about that? So you look like, you know, you take out your Rabbi Kaplan Chumash or your article and you look in the index, cloning. You know, you look under C and you see over there heaven. You know, you see a couple of things: creation, cloning. There's no cloning over there in the index. So then the question comes before the Gedolei Hadar, and in one room, Rabbi Yoshev is sitting, and Rav Vosner is sitting. They should all be healthy and well. And Rabbi Vad Yosef is sitting in another room. And those great minds and hearts are first understanding, being taught, it's being explained to them by scientists, what is this mitzvah? And then those unbelievable minds and hearts who are always open to the waters of Har Sinai, daven and learn the sugya through the sugyas in Shas and in Poskim, that you and I would never even imagine have a shaychus to this inyan. And then within hours, within days, there are ready articles that are written, explanations that are found, long discussions that are now part of the yeshiva and the besmedrash. The Jews are discussing this inyan. There have already been svarim written about it. Many ma'amarim and halacha written on this subject. I'm just giving you an example, this inyan of cloning, where it seems to us that this is something which is, there's no shaykhs to Torah mitzvahs. So the Tanya says, until now, Mashahaya behelem dover, it was hidden. It was hidden. All of this Torah, all of the Yesidus, of course, were spoken at Har Sinai, were set out, and are found through the generations in Gemara and Rishayim. But then that Talmud Chacham, that Adam Gadol, sat in his room. And I'm only using this as a marshal of an Adam Gadol, but even with a regular person, that was Behelim Dover. It was in the universe. It was in God's mind, it was in God's voice. But it was Behelim Dover as far as this world is concerned. Kaidim Hayin Halaz, before this Talmud Chacham, before this Yid sat, and work through the sugya, Kal yidei ze ma'ala halocha zu mehaklipis, shoho yima'alimim u'machasam ha'isa. That until now, this thought, this idea, this chiddush, was covered and concealed by the klipis, by this world, by the darkness of this world, by the klipas of this world. You see, al derech moshel, that when something comes from the sky, by the time it gets, it depends where you live. If you live in a nice place where the air is good, so then when it comes, when that drop comes into the world, it comes less, it comes into the world less affected by the air, and it's closer to what it once was. But if you're like leaning over in Central Park to have a drink from the pond over there, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on besides the rain, right? There have been many, many stops that water made until it got into that pool. It was Behelim. That drop of Hashem's rain was Behelim. It was covered and concealed. It was in the klipas. It was in the klipas. There was a shidduch that took place recently with a family that I know, where the chassan, this bocher, was somebody that I know. He went out with many, many, many girls, a wonderful boy, and it was already, the years were going by, and many disappointments over the years, and then he ended up marrying a few weeks ago the first girl that he dated 10 years ago. That's who he married. So my kids were all agonizing over this. My little one said they could have had it almost a bar mitzvah already, they could have made, and they could have had, children, and they could. And I said, this could have. I said, that's that whole lashon could have. What is that? Could have. That was Behelim or Behester by the klipas. That this inyan of this zivig was covered and hidden. And only because of tefillah and avayda and patience and crying and parents and zaydis and bobbies and all everything else was it able to be taken out from its rain, from the klipas. Shahoyu ma'alimu u'machasim oisa. Shahoyu ma'alimu u'machasim oisa. That we're concealing and covering it. Either it wasn't known at all, this idea, this chiddush, was never heard before, was never heard at all. When you hear a very, very delicious and geshmake chiddush and Torah, there's an expression that goes back all the way to Chazal. There's an expression, k'nisinos ha-misinai. Ah, it's like it was given at Ha-Sinai. It's an expression that we have. Or in the Gemara, Moshe Shapik Amos, when one Chacham said something very, very brilliant and beautiful, the other Amira says, ah, Moshe! His name isn't Moshe. Whatever his name was. But he calls him Moshe Shapik Amos. What does it mean, Moshe? Moshe who? Moshe Rabbeinu Shapik Amos. Ah, Moshe said a good word. Well, have a love of Havdalos. Can you ever imagine such a thing? The guy sitting, he's singing over a piece of Shakespeare song. Billy. William. Shapikama. What does it mean? There's no such thing in the world. There's no opening from one world to the next. He's dead. Even when he was alive, he was Nishtal Levadika. And now, it's been many years since he's dead, and you're not talking to him, you're not talking to his ghost. And Lahavdal Alf Alfi Havdalis, Moshe Shapikama, as you say to a Yid, he says something good to you, ah, Moshe Shapikama. Moshe Shapikama. Moshe said a good thing. It was Behelim. The klipas. Shlohaisi yidu a klal. Could be that it wasn't bechlal, it wasn't known at all, such a concept, such an idea in learning. Or perhaps it was out there, but it wasn't properly understood. It wasn't understood. Until the Indian and science of cloning came up, there were things in Chazal that we didn't understand properly. Because there wasn't yet a demand to come to the pnimius of what Chazal was saying in that halacha. So it was understood on one level. Then when the cloning came out, then we said, wow, that's what the Gemara was talking about. I mean, the Gemara was saying that. Because of the need of that generation, and because of the chiddush of the neshamas in that generation, that's mezgala also in the chidushim that come down from Shemaim in science and in math and in so on. So Mimela, there's a gilui then, of Torah that we that wasn't clear until now. We simply didn't understand it until now. Shlohaisum uvenes heitev b'taima. It was there, Papa. We didn't understand. We didn't really know. We didn't really know what it is. Just like when. So now let's go back to that beautiful shidduch that was made after 10 years with the first girl. So he comes back now, and now he goes out with this girl, and he says, "I never knew that. This is when we met. The two of us met, and we went out 5 times, whatever, 6 times. We went out even more. I don't know. We went out. So I knew you. You knew me. He says, no, I didn't really know you." It's a chiddush. But I was here. I was in the world. Not only was I in the world, but we actually spent time together. We went down. Shlohaisum uvenes heitev. I didn't understand you. Shlohaisum uvenes heitev. It wasn't understood. Some of you might remember on Shabbos Shuvah that I spoke about this inyan. And I read a little bit from a story from a famous Russian writer from Chekhov. And you remember that story is a murder gemaisa. The tragedy there was that it was only the last moment of her life that the husband began to see who this person was. You remember? And then after she left the world, you have to daven very, very strong that when you're married to somebody, that Hashem is well should help, that you should begin to understand the person while you're living together, not only afterwards. And the same thing that comes with friends. It comes to a Rebbe, a Talmud, parents, children. There's a Teresh B'Chsav and there's a Teresh B'Al Peh. So Tanya says, there was a chiddush in Torah that either it was shlohaisi do a shlohaisum uvenes heitev, either it wasn't known at all, or shlohaisum uvenes heitev, it wasn't understood. The taima, it's the deeper reason, the deeper tam, the taste. I was zeichet to be this pesach with my father and my uncle, my mother, my aunt. And it was the funniest thing. You know, my eating is a very important ritual, as you know, in this whole thing with the older generation. So first they had to go for fleishigs, and my mother was working on that inyan for months, where we're going to go. So, and then the second day, so I said, I really we just eat at home, and I don't want any. And she's in like summer, so okay, we're going to go to the pizza shop. They have over there a nice pizza shop. Which I don't eat anything that's milk, because that's the truth. It's just ice cream. So, okay, but they thought I said, I'll have tuna, I'll have something. I didn't, I just had ice cream. So, my father, and his brother, my father has an older brother. So, my aunt and uncle came, we met, and we ate it together. And it was the sweetest thing. My father had his first piece of pizza around 2 years ago. All the years, everybody was saying to him, I mean, I'm not a pizza lover, I'm an assistant, everybody's saying it's delicious, delicious. I said, what's this? What a garnish of food. Pizza, pizza. And all the Americans used to fresh with pizza. How, whatever happened, I think from one of the grandchild, I don't know, but my father ate a little piece of pizza. Good. So my parents go now always when they're in town, and they always go to Shimon's. They go to Shimon's once a week on Main Street in Queens for pizza. So now my father has an older brother. So I got this whole story from my sister, and I got my mother a little bit. So my father says to his brother, Itzi, pizza's a gitazach. So my uncle's already from the older school, and they say, what? At the end of the story is that my uncle also now is eating a little pizza. He's eating this. We're talking about Jews that are, Be'ez Hashem, close to 90, that are now, and my uncle was sitting there with a knife He doesn't eat it like that. My father also, they don't go like that. That's still not Jewish. They cut it with a knife, like this, into little pieces. And my father said to my uncle, no, it's, I told you it's a good thing. Pizza's a good thing. Like this whole thing. So I said to my father, you know, everybody was telling you, Daddy, 40 years ago, it's a good thing. So my father said, it wasn't time. Now it's time. It's time didn't come. Pizza yet didn't arrive in that part of the world. And my uncle even took a little bit later, another year or two. About you could be with something, and you never tasted its taste. You could have something, even a person's eating something. If the person's, God forbid, let's say, even if you're eating it and you're not well, so you don't taste it, what it is, because you don't feel well, so you don't really taste it. If you have a cold, you don't taste it. So imagine a person, God forbid, has a cold like this for a long time, and everybody's telling them this is the most delicious food, this is so delicious, and it doesn't taste like anything. But then when it clears up, his cold, he says, oh, it's delicious. So until that time, he didn't know its taste, even though he's eating it. When it comes to learning Torah, Satanya says, until that time, it's only a marshal, but until that time, the deeper reason, the time, and the deeper taste of a piece of Torah comes from the highest sphere of Chachmah Ilah, of great exalted Chachmah, Vashat sphere of Chachmah. Shanofla mimen in the tzaitches beklifas v'shvias ha-kelem, that at the time, I'm not going to go into this, when I'm holding by, but at the time of the shattering of the vessels at the beginning of time, so sparks of that mitzias of Chachmah Ilah, of the highest Chachmah, descended into the klipas of this world and are covered by the darkness of this world, covered by the klipas of this world. V'heim sham b'b'chines galus, and they're in a state of galus, b'chines galus. We see this even in the, I spoke about this a little bit a few weeks ago. You see this even in the observance of halacha, how there were certain mitzvahs that were in galus. There are certain mitzvahs that everybody knew about. It's in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Poskim, but they were in galus. Like Jews were not. Jews were not. Were not wide scale. Were not living with these mitzvahs. So we're talking about the mikveh, taharas mishpacha, a woman covering her hair. In America, 30, 40 years, I mentioned this a few years ago, 20 years ago, only a woman that was very, very, very connected to that Messiah and was very firm and so on, but the klal, which now is a devil pashit. There are mitzvahs that were in galus. There's Torah that's in galus. It's a pella. It's a great one that we're going to talk a lot about through the Sefer. The Torah is in galus. There are mitzvahs that are in galus. The Nami Al-Malach speaks about certain mitzvahs that they're like a mace mitzvah. Like a mace mitzvah that no one's tending to. They're mitzvahs that are left on the side. And mitzvahs from the Torah. Mitzvahs, Jeraisa, Jerabanas that are left sitting. In the, people pass by, they go back and forth, they learn the Gemaras, they learn the Shulchan Aruch. It's just left, sitting like that. Look, something like tefillin. Do you know how much the state of tefillin has improved over the years? Those of us who are over 40, remember that even by Jews with Shana Mitzvahs, many, many, many were wearing the little yellow boxes, the dakas, the tefillin, the cheap tefillin, the kosher tefillin. But look nowadays, I don't see them anymore. You don't see anymore these little dakas tefillin. Everybody gets gasas tefillin. And it's not only... You see, when we were younger, our Sengland boys became bar mitzvah. Many of them came with dakis tefillin from families. And you were proud if you had, you know, with the red boxes. It was gasses. You had expensive tefillin. Nowadays, who you don't see such a thing that a bar mitzvah bacher from a frum family. I'm not talking about somebody gets a gift set, you know, God forbid they're not putting on tefillin. They just, even that's something, at least they want to have tefillin. But I'm talking about a person, Shem HaMitzvahs, everybody, even people who are not so careful with mitzvahs, but when they get the son of a tefillin together, a nice pair of tefillin, a kosher pair of tefillin, gases. Tefillin, it was somehow the mitzvah of tefillin was the chalalim, stam. Sefer Torah, Tzul Mezuzahs, and the writing, and so on. The Sefer Torah that are being written now are much better than the old ones. The writing now is much more beautiful, much clearer, and halacha than the ones that they got from, that they found, the old ones, old Sefer Torah. It's much better now. Something happened. It's a nice mitzvah. That it was redeemed. The inyan of Safras was taken out of Golas. It was a Golas. In the Klipas. It's all part of how the Baruch Shalom fears the world, how he runs the world. It's a very deep mystery how that is. Just like this couple, even though they met 10 years ago, but now is the time for Shidduch. Like you have that on the computer, it's called Saw You at Sinai. You heard of that? Right?
Yeah.
So this thing called Saw You at Sinai. So if I saw you at Sinai, how come it took me thousands of years to get this thing worked out? I saw you at Sinai. Shkaya. I saw you all. You were in the 4,300 row, the fourth person from there. I saw you there. I looked at you, of course, to the women's section over there. So how come? So what took you so long? I mean, how long I'm waiting for you like this? So many thousands of years. What took you so long? It was behest of the Helam, and the Klipa is such a thing. How the Baruch Shem fears the veld like that. That the klipas, that the shells, the husks, the shells, the klipas are covering. Chachmas atayra, melyonim esachtaynim. From being in this world, and even from the angels in the higher world. Elyonim doesn't mean God forbid Hashem, it means the angels. It means elyonim. Because I should cause him, it says in the Zohar called the Shakushi him Sifra Dira. That's what it says in the Zohar Kodesh. That Kushi means when you have a dilemma, when you're learning a piece of Gemara, right? You're learning something in Torah, you have a Kasha. A Kasha, I don't understand. A Kasha. So Kasha, it says in the Zohar, is Misifra Dira, comes from the Klipas. That hard shell that's covering over the understanding of this piece of Torah. It's a Kasha. You see, in the Indian of Golos Mitzrayim, the Zohar says, "Ba'avoida kosher, b'chaymer b'levayim." Right, that we were enslaved, avoida kosher, bitter slavery, hard slavery, avoida kosher. So the Zohar says, "Avoida kosher, da'kushya." It means the kashyas that we have in learning that we can't understand what the Baruch Shalom is telling us. I don't understand. I don't understand what Hashem is saying. That's called avoida kosher, kasha. Kufshin Yud Aleph, which many times over the years I mentioned to you, Rabbi Nachman says that Kufshin Yud Aleph is the oisis Shema Hashem Kaili Akra. Shema Hashem is Yud Kevavka. Yud. Shin Yud. Kaili Akra. Listen to me, Hashem. I'm calling out to you. I'm begging you to help me break through this klipa that's covering your Torah. That's covering your Torah. To help me understand it. Again, Lahavdil of Alpha of those. You have somebody that's going to say, are you Hiratzen before he reads the newspaper? Someone says, are you Hiratzen? Someone goes to the mikveh and says, are you Hiratzen? Help me to understand what the newspaper is saying. There's no such thing. Only with Torah, Akashi is Avayd Akashi, is a Misitra de Ra from the side of Ra, of evil. The shell that covers the Ratzon Hashem, that covers the Dvar Hashem. Therefore, it takes davening and digging deep, like making a mikveh, breaking through the earth, breaking through. And we'll talk next week about how all this connects to Tu B'Shvat. Obviously, we still have some little time. Yeah, there's all this very, very, very mekushet to the whole meaning of Tu B'Shvat. To the Ilan HaTorah, to break through the hard ground of the winter to bring out the Dvar Hashem, the Ilan HaKadosh, the tree. It's misitcha de ra. V'nehal yoinim ein behem karech levar lahalas meshvir shebeklipas noiga. The angels themselves can't do this. They can't, they're not involved in breaking through these klipas because they're not part of the world of the klipas. Ela ha-tachtayim levad, if yishayim luboshim aguf. Only the tachtayim, only us here in this world, because we're enclosed in the physical body, in the klipas. L'gavchomi moshcha d'chavayah, from the skin of the snake, meaning in this physical world. The klipas noigah, from the klipas, I'm going to talk about the different types of klipas, the klipas noigah. V'heim matishim koicha b'shviras ha-taivis, ach, and a yid in this world has to break through the hard skin of the snake, of the klipas of this world. And when he breaks through shviras ha-taivis, he breaks through his desires, his taivis, he breaks through all of that. Vizkafya sitra achra, and he pushes away, and he breaks down, and the sitra achra, the other side. The aspardo kol poly oven, and all that is evil is pushed aside, and then the tree of Torah is revealed, then the flower of the Ratzon Hashem, of Chochmas Hashem, is uncovered. There was under the klipas of the sitra achra and the taivis, and here in this world with our learning, and the yeshiva bacha strolling with all of his taivas and the chumiyas haguf in this physical world to understand Teres Hashem and to struggle with the kashas of Shema Hashem Kerli Ekra. L'chein therefore Chazal tell us boim ha'al yonim l'shmer chedush ha'tayim ha'tachtayim. The angels come to the yeshiva, to the smedrish, into our lives to hear our chidushim. They want to hear what we have to say in learning. The malachim come to hear our chidushim. Angels want to hear what we have to say, what human beings have to say. What Jews in this world, with their Avoda Kasha, are revealing, are uncovering the sounds of Hashem's voice that are hidden even to the angels. Megalim Talumas Achachim, Shayu Kvushim Begala, that were held, imprisoned in Golos, till now. The Kol Ish Yisrael, every single Jew, not just great tzaddikim, every Jew, Kol Ish Yisrael, Yuchel Lagalas Talumas Chochma, has the ability to be Megalit, to uncover and to reveal, and to redeem. Talumas Chochma, the secrets of wisdom, the secrets of Chochmas Hashem. Hul Chadish Seichel Chadish, but to be Mechadish, a new Seichel, a new insight, a new understanding. New, but like Chazal saying, there are old words that are old, new words that are old words. Chaditin, new words, atikin, old words. They're new words, but they're old words. But the old words were covered. So it appears to us to be new words. Hein b'halachis, not just in halacha and b'agadis, insights into agadate, into machshove, and musa, and chsidis, and so on, whatever. Hein b'nigla, the revealed Torah, hein b'nista, and Kabbalah. Kfi b'chinis sherish nishmasai, according to the sherish of that nishama, of that particular nishama, each Jew has his chalik of Torah that he was given and sent into this world to reveal. Each and every one of us was sent into the world to reveal a chalik of Torah. B'sein chalkeinu b'serasecha. Each person, k'fi b'chinas sherish nishmasai, according to the sherish of his neshama. M'chuyiv b'dov l'hashlan nishmasai, and he's m'chuyiv, and he has to come back into the world. L'hashlan nishmasai, in order to complete what he has to complete. To uncover the Torah that he has to uncover. Can't waste time. We have to learn as much as we can. L'hashlam nishmasa b'halos kol anitzaitzis shenoflu l'chelka l'garola, in order to lift up all of the sparks that have fallen into his chelik, into his girl, that was given to him as his assignment. The Baruch Shalom gave each and every one of us an assignment. These are the sparks that you have to uncover and reveal. This is what you have to do. This is your assignment. And until you do that, you have to come back and back. And that's what we spoke about, why a person is more drawn to one part of Torah than another part of Torah. The other parts of Torah he already fixed, it could be in an earlier Gilgal, and he has a certain Indian that he has to fix, And he's more drawn to that part of Torah. It pulls him very, very much to that part of Torah. And there's a reason for that. And every single word of Torah, and especially Dvar Halacha, is a spark of the Shechina of the Divine Presence. Shehihi Dvar Hashem, which Chazal say, Dvar Hashem is Halacha. Dvar Hashem, it's the Dvar Hashem Mamish, the Word of God Himself. Kedisa B'Gemara, Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. One opinion is Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha, Dvar Hashem Zu Nevuah, Dvar Hashem. We'll see more about that in Chazal in a minute. Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha, Dvar Hashem Zu Nevuah. The Word of God is Halacha. The Word of God is prophecy. Soid Malchus Da'atzilus. This is the secret of Malchus, of that sphere of Malchus Da'atzilus from the highest world, the last sphere from the highest world. Hamalbeshes L'chochme Da'atzilus, that enclothes the Madrega, the highest Madrega of Chochme Da'atzilus. Mulaboshan Bamachus, the Yitzir of Yodu Beklipas Noiga, goes further down, millions and billions of levels from the world of Atzilus, from Chochma of Atzilus, all the way down to Malchus in this world of Asiya, to the lowest level of Malchus in this world, in this physical world of the Klipas. Vezesh Omer Begemara, which Yodu Beklipas Noiga, which Shias Akelma fell into the Klipas Noiga, and Shias Akelma to this world and the physical things. Vezesh Kosov, the Gemara, Kala Isik B'Torah. The Gemara says an astounding thing. Kala Isik B'Torah, any Jew that's learning Torah, Kala Isik B'Torah, really, not because he wants to just be smart or to say smart things or to impress people, but he's Isik B'Torah to the Emes. Kala Isik B'Torah, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, Ma'ala ani olav. The Baruch Shalom says about this person who's Isaac B'Tayra, Ma'ala ani olav, I consider this person ki'ilu pida'ani ve'ezbeni mi'ben ha'umas ha'olam. The Baruch Shalom kivyochel says about a Jew who's learning Torah, l'shma, the Baruch Shalom says, you should know that you, it's as if you have redeemed me. Pida'ani. You have redeemed, what's a better word for redeemed? Someone was like in jail, freed me. You have released me and freed me. Ki'ilu pida'ani v'ezbeni, me and my son. Knesset Yisrael, that means chochme. V'ezbeni mi ben umas ha'olam, from the klipas, mi ben umas ha'olam, from the nations of the world. Which a person understands. If you find a Jew someplace who barely knows that he's a Jew, and you help him to understand, oh, what it means to be a Yid, and you open that world of Yiddishkeit up to him. Right? You open up Yiddishkeit to this person. So then you're bringing back to the Rebbeinu Shalom such a gift of a Yid. You could understand that the Rebbeinu Shalom says, ah, ki'ilu pidani, you know, when you took this Jew out of Golus, you took me out of Golus. Because the elokus of this person, the chelik eloka of this Yid was held in Golus. Where? By the Umas Ha'olam. It was held in Golus by the nations of the world and the klipas of Tumah. That's where this Jew was. And now you were makar of this Yid, and you brought him out from that jail, and with me, you brought me, kilpa da'ani, v'ezbeni, me, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, and my son. But you could see that, you could feel that when you bring a Jew out from the klipas, when you bring a Jew out from Golus. That ki'ilu pida'ani, that kivyochel v'ezbeni, mi ben ha'umas ha'olam, that you brought me out, Hashem says, and my child. I was with this child in Golus. Imayin eichi b'tzara. You saw Golus shechina imayim, in Golus. So it's ki'ilu pida'ani v'ezbeni. You don't feel that when you're learning Torah, but you should. That when you're learning, and you understand something, and you come to something, and you uncover something, that the Baruch Shalom is saying to you, "Ay, ki'ilu pida'ani v'ezbeni mi ben ha'umas ha'olam." Until now, this thought of Torah was sitting in the klipas, in the dirt, in the earth. And now you took this out from the dirt. You dug a mikveh. And you were able, was leaving. And you took it out from the klipas. You took it out from the dirt. So not only when you bring a Jew back to Hashem Hashbach, when you feel it very strongly, when you help to bring a Jew back, when you help to bring yourself to be Ma'ar yourself to come back, when you're learning a piece of Torah, that the Baruch Shalom it's considered as if you have freed Kivyochel Hashem ben umus ha'olam from the nations of the world, that He made the world in such a way that the klipas, that He's Kivyochel Melech also baratim, that Hashem Yisbach Himself is like a king who is held captive, who is imprisoned by the nations of the world. Hashem made Him such a way, and He gave each and every one of us an assignment. Each and every one has came into the world with an assignment, with those nitzaitis that we have to free, through our thoughts, our words, and our actions, through our davening, through our learning, through our kiyum hamitzvos, through our ben olam l'malkum ben olam l'chaveiro, we have to free kivyochel the Shechina herself, ki'ilu peda'anim u'bni miben humus olam, from the nations of the world, from the klipas of the other side. That's the avoda of learning. All learning, therefore, as we've been learning from the Pius Etzner, is a continuation of the Devar Hashem and therefore of Har Sinai, and therefore all of our learning connects to the Koyach of Nevuah, of prophecy. They were the children of prophets. And as we learn, the children of prophets does not mean just that we are biologically descendants of prophets, but we have a chush, we have in us a prophetic ability to pick up on the frequencies of Hashem's voice after Hashem spoke. After He said what He said at Har Sinai, we're able to hear over the years and to pick up on these frequencies. And next time we'll begin with a few chazals in this inyan. And then we're going to continue, Mr. Shem, with Chief Bayes.